I want to talk about Joseph tonight. We talked about, we mentioned some promises of Abraham, and when I was studying for that, I can't remember which day it was, I had touched on Joseph, and I wanted to save this because I want to talk tonight about Joseph's bones. It seems a little strange of a topic, but I believe we can see something that will help us. You know, like I said, I love the Bible. I'm glad that it just gives us so much. It's such a present help, even when times were so different. You know, that's what amazes me, is how you could have a different language, a different culture, different levels of technology, everything be different, yet it still is just as relevant as today because the Word is alive. And I'm thankful for that because we serve a God that's alive, and we are coming together as a church that's alive because Jesus is alive. And it's such a blessing to think about all of these things. But we're going to look at a couple passages tonight, but we'll start kind of the anchor one here is Genesis chapter 50, and we're going to look at verse 24. So, hold on, almost forgot. All right, so Genesis chapter 50, verse 24 says this, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for its truth. And Lord, we are just so thankful that you have blessed us so much already tonight, both in the business and in the service. And Lord, we ask that you'd continue, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts. Lord, open our ears and allow us to learn and to draw closer to you and to find encouragement. And Lord, help us to walk by faith in this dark world. Lord, we love you, and we ask you for all things in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. So, at the beginning of Genesis chapter 50, Joseph's father Jacob dies while he is in Egypt. Remember, the family had came there to escape the famine while Joseph was second in command because he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. So the whole family lives in Egypt now, and Jacob died. And what happens is the family, along with a whole bunch of the Egyptian government officials, they all travel to Canaan to bury him. And it was that same cave of Machpelah where Abraham was already buried. Isaac, Sarah, Rebekah, Leah, all of them end up buried in that same spot with Jacob. So if you think about, Joseph is nearing death. It's coming his time to die, and he's giving his instructions for where he wants to be buried and different things. And you would think that he would say, I want to be buried in the same cave, right? That's where his, you know, his grandfather, his father, different relatives are all buried there. You'd think he'd want to be buried there as well. But he makes a unique request, and he makes them make a promise to him and say, promise me that you, he promised me that you won't bury me there, but you will carry my bones away from here. And so look at it, verse 24, he says, God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which we swear, he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he is talking about, you know, like we were preaching on the other day, that land promise where Abraham and his seed would have the promised land, that Canaan, they would have it forever. But Joseph is not just talking about that promise, but a specific promise that God made to Abraham back in Genesis 15. So if you want to, it's not too far if you want to turn there or not. Genesis 15, 13, and this is God speaking, and he said to Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with a great substance. So you think about God told Abraham, he is telling them, he said, listen, your seed, I'm promising you the promised land. But before that happens, there's going to come a day where your seed, Abraham, is going to be in a strange land. And then not only that, but they're going to end up serving the ones that are in the strange land. And they're going to be afflicted. And this is going to happen 400 years. But after 400 years, God says, I'm going to bring them out. And not only that, when I bring them out, they're going to come out with great substance. Now, what does that sound like, right? What does it sound like? The book of, doesn't it sound like where you remember in the book of Exodus, what happens? It started off, we talked about this the other night, a new Pharaoh came that didn't know Joseph, didn't remember him, didn't know of him. Time passed, generations passed, and all of a sudden the Egyptians are worried that the Hebrews are growing and multiplying and God's blessing them. So they say, well, we need to make them servants. And I love that verse where it's talking about the more that they afflicted them, the more God blessed them, and the more they multiplied. It got worse and worse. So they were in bondage for 400 years, and then God brought them out, what? With Moses. He used Moses. They went through the Red Sea, and they make their way. They wander in the wilderness. But then Joshua, in his life, they go into Canaan. God said that all the way back in Genesis 15. He said, you're going to spend, he doesn't say Egypt, but we know it's Egypt now. He says, you're going to be in a foreign country. They're going to afflict you 400 years later. So what's happening is Joseph is reminding them of this promise in Genesis chapter 50. About 200 years later, he's reminding them, hey, God promised Abraham we'd be in a strange land.
Yeah.
Right? But he said, God will bring you out. And bring you into the land. He'll visit you. So now if you go back to Genesis 50 and you think about, he said, Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel saying, God will surely visit you and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So you see what's happening? He's saying, I don't want a funeral like my dad had. I don't want a funeral like Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph where you carry me out to Canaan and you come back to Egypt. And remember, he's second in command with Egypt. He could have been buried with the kings, right? The kings of Egypt, the pharaohs. He could have been in one of the pyramids. They could have buried him in one of those. He didn't want that either. He wanted something totally different. You know why? Because he knew that generations after him would face affliction. Because that's what God said was coming. The affliction didn't happen while Joseph was still alive. It happened later. And Joseph knew that the same God from Genesis 15 that said you would endure affliction, he knew they were in the strange land. Joseph did. So he knew affliction was coming for his people after he was dead. And he knew they would face it for quite a long time. So you're thinking, why? Before all of this, you know, you're thinking he didn't want to be buried there and he knew affliction would come. He knew they would be in slavery. But you know what? That was something Joseph had experienced himself, right? He was a slave at one point and he was a prisoner at one point and he knew what was coming for them. I found something. I found Psalm 105. I hadn't read this for quite a while, but Psalm 105, 17, 18, and 19 talks about this time in Joseph's life. It says, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, and he was laid in iron. So you think about that time in Joseph's life. Remember, his brothers sold him as a slave. He was in Egypt, and then he was thrown in prison. Remember, after Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of him trying to take advantage of her. But every time, what amazes me, you read Joseph's life, every time, no matter where he's at, whether he's working under Potiphar, or he's in the prison, or he's working for Pharaoh, every time, he is always being blessed by God. And he is always being respected by those around him. He's always being placed in a higher position at every point of his life. But you've got to realize the despair was there. The heartache was there. The disappointment was there. Because remember, this is the same Joseph that God had given him two dreams. And in each dream, he said, you are going to rule over your brothers and your family. Yet this is the one that's in jail. Right? This is the same one. So if you could just imagine, this was a 13 to 15 year period from when he was sold into slavery to when he finally becomes a ruler in Egypt. That's a long time to endure a trial. That's a long time to be disappointed over and over again. Disappointed with Potiphar when he throws you in jail after he should know better because of his character. Disappointed when he's in jail and he helps the baker and the butler, and they don't remember him, or at least the one that lived didn't remember him. You know, disappointment over and over again. And you think about that, the time he was in prison, where he is sitting in that cold cell. I can just think about it at night, and then he remembers those dreams of being a ruler. Right? It's hard to think about at that time, wouldn't it? It would have been hard for him to think, God, are you really going to do this? Right? I'm wearing these chains. They're hurting my feet. And you're saying I'm going to be a ruler? It was hard. And in fact, verse 18 said he was laid in iron. And it's kind of a phrase that's almost saying, we would say that iron wasn't all just shackled to his legs. That iron went all the way to his soul. It really got to him. And it would us too, if you think about that. And those are the days you think about that no doubt the devil had a field day. Because he does that in our lives too, doesn't he? You know, something happens in your life, a disappointment happens, a trial happens, and especially trials that take a long time or span years or when it really gets hopeless and it doesn't look like anything will change, that's when the devil likes to remind us, doesn't he? Oh, didn't God say you'd be a ruler there? Joseph, look at you. You're not ruling anything. You don't have any freedom at all. You know, doesn't the devil do that to us? He can feel the pain of the iron, and he's the devil's trying to fight against us and try to convince us that God has forgotten his promises, God has changed his mind, or God is you know, just something else. And then that the devil just sowing doubt, seeds of doubt in our mind. And then look at verse 19 of Psalm 105. It says this: unto the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The word of the Lord tried him. It tried him in prison. It tried him when he was in slavery. It tried him during that whole time. Has it ever done that with you? God's given you a promise, but the current circumstances are making it hard to believe that promise is true. Joseph went through that.
Yeah.
Day after day. Week after week, month and year after year, he went through that, and it says it tried him. You know, a lot of times, God's promises, it's easier for me to trust in God's promise for you. Or it's easy for me to trust in God for a different day or for a different place. Oh, I know he'll take care of another church, but will he take care of this one? Oh, I know he'll take care of your family, but what about mine? And that's what happens. We start to question. It's hard. And I think about Joseph, all of those years of disappointment and where the situation went from bad to worse. But here's the thing. The word of the Lord tried him and tried him and tried. It was a test over and over again. Joseph, will you continue to walk by faith? Will you continue to live with a godly character? Will you continue to do these things even though you've been treated wrongly all the way until the time the word came? You know what that I think he's saying? When the Pharaoh called for him out of jail and he saw the prison cell for the last day. All those years of trials as a slave and as a prisoner, I believe all that time where he taught him to put his trust in God. So when the good times came, and when he was a ruler and he had a family and things were going all right, he was still trusting God.
Yeah.
Isn't that what trials do for us as well? They teach us to put our trust in God.
Amen.
Well, let's get back to the passage where it talks about Abraham took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. Hebrews 11, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And verse 22 says this, "By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Of all the things in Joseph's life God could have called out, he called out this right here. He said, by faith, when he died, he said, I don't want you to bury me in the promised land. I don't want you to bury me in a pyramid. You keep these bones because one day God's going to free you and I want you to carry him out of here and take it at that point. You know what I believe that was? I believe that Joseph wanted to remind everybody that came after him. See, he was going to die and he couldn't tell them and remind them, because I'm sure he was reminding them over and over again up until the point where he was about to die. But he was wanting them to remember and have a reminder that although they were in Egypt, they've been in Egypt for a long time, it doesn't look like they'll ever get out of Egypt. He wanted them to remember that that was not their permanent dwelling place. And I think about where we're at today. Something we need a reminder of today is that this world is not our permanent dwelling place. This is temporary. It may look hopeless at times. It may look like, who knows what doubt the devil tries to sow in our mind. But God has promised a better place for us. Praise God. Just like he had promised a better place for them on this earth. And when God promised them a land, he would keep his promises no matter what it looked like in Egypt, no matter who was in power or anything else. You know what Joseph was saying by faith? Even though I won't be alive to see it, I want my bones to sit here and be a reminder. I believe, I know they put it in a coffin, but they didn't bury it. I believe they set it somewhere so that people could see it. And I don't know where it was, but can you imagine years down the road, there's maybe a father and a son walking by, and the son asks about, hey, what is that? Who is that? Why is there a coffin there? And they say, son, that was Joseph. He died before I ever came around, but my parents told me the story, and now I'll tell you, he trusted in God when times were bad. He trusted in God even though it went from bad to worse and he was thrown in jail wrongfully. He continued to trust in God, and he told us, don't you bury me over there and then come back here. Don't you bury me in the pyramid. You set me right here, because he said, every time I want you to look at this and remember that God will one day free us out of here, and we're going to take this coffin and we're going to carry it all the way to the promised land. And I'm here to tell you, that blesses me when I think about it, because sometimes we need some reminders down here, just like he knew they would need reminders. I don't know if it's a physical thing or what, or maybe something you write down or whatever, but we need some reminders in our life that God's promises are real, so that whenever we see it, you know what? The news is telling me one thing, but praise God, I've got a Bible that's not changing. He said he hasn't left me. He hasn't forsaken me. He's still hearing my prayers, even though sometimes it seems like that's not the way it's going. But I'm here to tell you, God loves us. God's still living. And I tell you, I may not be alive to see when he calls home the church, but I will see Jesus, and I'll go down to my grave. Hopefully we record enough sermons and everything else that they can keep listening to it for as long as they'll let it be on the air, and maybe I'll be dead and gone, but someone will listen to the truth and they will know and they will hear and they'll be encouraged, because it could get worse out here. But I'm telling you what, God's saying, hey, this isn't the end. This isn't the end. He left a legacy. Anyone that passed by would say that one day Pharaoh's grip that was so tight, his army and chariots that were so strong and mighty that nobody could topple, God one day is going to have a march right out of there. And by the way, without a fight and without an army, and in fact, they weren't going to go out of there empty-handed. They were going to literally plunder the Egyptians before they left. And all of that happened. You can read it in your Bible. Praise God. It's not hard for God to make a promise like that when he already sees the future. But you know what? I thought about that and I said, you know, if Joseph would have grown up in the palace and lived an easy life and never really had big troubles and things like that, it would have been hard for anyone to really believe and trust in that. But he could say, and other people could say of his life, he knew what affliction was like.
Yes, amen.
He knew what bondage was like. He knew what disappointment and pain was like. And he said, God's still good.
Amen.
He said, God will still make good on his promises. And even if he didn't get to see a certain part, he said, God will bring you out and give you that land.
Amen.
He was a slave. And God was true to him. And you know what happened to Joseph? God elevated him just like he said he would.
That's right.
They bowed down to him just like God said they would.
That's right.
It didn't make sense to them. They didn't recognize him at first. But exactly what God said would happen, would happen. I think about his brothers. They didn't realize it till the very end. But that didn't change any of God's promises.
That's right.
And I realized nothing changed those dreams.
Amen.
The hard part was in the middle. I think maybe some of us are going through the middle time. We've been given promises by God. It's been easier to trust and believe in them before. Now it's getting a little harder.
Yeah.
Right? And it may get even harder, I don't know. Or it may get easier, you never know. But one thing we need to remember is God's got the final say on everything.
Amen.
It didn't matter what's going on.
That's right.
People were living their lives, walking by those bones, and some of them, a lot of them ignored it, but some of them looked at it and said, you know what? God's coming back.
Amen.
He's not letting us stay here. I think spiritually we need to do the same thing. We don't need a pile of bones. We've got the living word.
Yeah.
Amen.
But it just amazes me how Joseph could take that one promise and could apply it. It was something even so far down the road. And he could put it all together by faith and say, you know what? The same God that took care of me will take care of you.
That's right.
And then you could watch as those bones travel and they make it all the way.
Amen.
What a blessing. That's why the Bible says he did that by faith.
Yeah.
By faith. He said, I want a reminder that even after I'm gone, people will look at that and say, God is a keeper of promises.
Yes.
I want my life to be like that. Don't you?
Amen.
People look at our lives and say, God is a keeper of promises. He's an answerer of prayers. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I'm going to ask everyone to stand tonight.